The show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we're going to pack a lot into today's program. It's our final day giving a preview of the third annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, and coming up we'll have two segments from performers who will be there. Singer-songwriter specializing in music of the Great Lakes region, Lee Murdoch, and then also an old-time duo that calls itself Red Tail Ring. They'll be performing as well. We'll also be talking with last year's Naumburg Piano Competition winner, So-Yeon Lee. She's performing at the Krannert Center in a salon concert Sunday afternoon. But first, we will be paying tribute to the late Eric Dahlheim, long of the piano faculty at the University of Illinois, who died in April, and there is a memorial concert being given tomorrow night at 7:30 with lots of different participants, and we have a few of those with us on today's show. It's live and local on FM 90.9. Stay tuned. Probably an appropriate way to start this segment of Live and Local today. That was the famous vocalese of Sergei Rachmaninoff, originally for voiceless soprano. Well, wordless soprano. She certainly had a voice. In this case, we heard multiple voices belonging to the Yale cellos as led by Aldo Pariso. And that is one of the many pieces that will be performed on Saturday night's memorial concert, Remembering Eric L. Dahlheim. It'll be Saturday night, 7:30, at the University of Illinois' Smith Music Hall in the recital hall there on South Matthews Avenue. Eric was a longtime professor at the University of Illinois. And, you know, this is kind of funny because I'm really forgetting if he was in the piano division, piano performance division, or was he in the accompanying division? Barbara Hedlund is with us, is new Eric and worked with him for a long, long time, and also the MC for the show is Carolyn Paulin, who is with us as well, who also happens to be working at WFMT as a host.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing
good afternoon,
great.
Actually.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, just barely. So which faculty was he on?
I don't see.
Yeah, which faculty was he on?
He was on the piano accompanying
That's
faculty.
That's what I was thinking,
and
yeah.
Also taught vocal literature. He taught a course in vocal literature as well.
And then, of course, played for many, 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 many people, not only here but elsewhere. And Carolyn, since you're the one I don't get to, I don't even know when I've seen you last. You know, this is actually dangerous for our listeners because we have three conductors in the room.
My goodness, yes, that's
frightening. And two radio hosts.
But no fighting.
And no fighting. The other conductor is Paul Vermel, who's actually a former teacher of mine. I came down here to study with Paul.
Yes, nice. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. And are you still working with was it Oak Park or Oak Lawn Symphony?
No,
I've lost track.
No, it's called the Northwest Symphony.
It's in the suburb
of Chicago.
But you live in
it's
Oak Park
community.
Or something.
We
like
live
that.
In Niles.
Yeah, we lived in Oak Park for 10 years,
but
we moved to Niles when I became full time at WFMT. It's just a little closer to the station.
Yeah, and we
it's
determined.
It's a case of the husband following the wife.
Oh.
We left Champaign after 20 years in 1994 and moved up to the Chicago area.
And Paul was the conducting professor and conductor of the University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra for a very long time, about 20 years, I guess.
Until 1994. And then when I retired, and since I couldn't go to France, so I followed my wife to Chicago.
Well, you could have gone to France. You chose to follow your wife to Chicago.
That's right, exactly.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
So that worked all very well. Worked out very well. So, Carolyn, what's your connection to Eric Dahlheim?
Well, when I was a student here, I did my doctoral work in choral music at the university, and I knew many, many people, many of my colleagues, my friends in the voice program, particularly singers like Jerry Hadley, Erie Mills, and Eric Halverson were some stars when we were here in the mid-1970s. And I knew of Eric Dahlheim's work from hearing him play, from seeing him coach other singers, you know, and just being in Smith Hall a lot as well. And then after I finished my degree and I married Paul Vermeil in 1978, we really became very good friends with Eric and his wife Barbara Dahlheim, a wonderful soprano who sang a number of works at the university. We became very good friends with them, and one of my favorite memories was we were all fans of Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau, and I had seen him twice in Los Angeles, but not for many years, and so Eric and Barbara and Paul and I drove up in their wonderful big car to Chicago and heard him at the Auditorium Theater and sat in the first row. And that was a huge friendship-making trip. Drove up and back the same day, but had wonderful conversations, had that wonderful experience of hearing Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau. And we just saw Eric and Barbara a lot, admired both of their senses of musicianship, and I was just so honored and touched when Barbara called me in July and asked me if I would sort of be the host or the master of ceremonies of this memorial concert honoring Eric and his legacy and his talent and his skill. And so I naturally said yes.
Well, sure, and we're glad you did. Barbara, were you the principal instigator and organizer? Wouldn't be surprised me if the answer is yes for this event.
I had a lot of help, but certainly when Barbara Dahlheim asked us for help, we met with Dr. Carl Kramer, who's the director of the School of Music, soon after he died, and he said, how can we honor Eric's memory and his contributions to the school? And it was decided that this concert, although there were two other private concerts in his memory, one at the Carl Cancer Institute Music Series, where he was a founder and performer for many, many programs, and at the Windsor Savoy, where he spent a lot of time performing for the residents there. This is the one that the school wanted to honor his memory with. So we've been working on it for quite a while, and there have been a lot of people helping, and it's all coming together for tomorrow.
So what was the process of choosing who was going to perform on this concert? Because you had a lot of options.
Well, sometimes we didn't choose. People just said, I have to be there. Eric made such a profound impact on me as a student and mentored me through my career and after I left school that they wanted to be here, and it was easy. The only thing that was hard was just scheduling everybody and figuring out rehearsal time and what are you going to perform. But there was a request that the music that would be performed would be something Eric had either performed with the artist or had taught them. And it should, of course, be something bright and uplifting as well. And so it was a process of evolution, but in some ways that was the easy part.
And I assume that Desiree Hassler, the soprano, was one of those people who probably said, I got to be here.
She was one of the very first ones. Eric played so many of her recitals for her, coached her in so many classes, and prepared her for so many roles. He was her accompanist for many of the competitions that she won. And so it's nice now she's singing with Chicago Lyric Opera, and she's coming back tomorrow to perform in his honor.
And the piece she's going to do, I believe, is by Richard Strauss from his Four Last Songs, which is sort of doubly appropriate, I guess.
Yeah, the beautiful Beim Schlafen Gehen.
Going to sleep. Now the day has wearied me, and my ardent longing shall the stormy night in friendship enfold like a tired child. We don't have Desiree singing, but I hope she won't mind if I play one of my own favorite sopranos, who is Lucia Popp, who is here with the London Philharmonic Orchestra led by Klaus Tennstedt. We won't have a full orchestra, I presume, but we'll have a pianist. Who is Rachel
Dr.
Jensen?
Dr. Rachel Jensen, right.
Who was a student of Eric's, or at least collaborated with him?
I'm sure she collaborated with him. I think she was here in the accompanying program, but I think she worked a lot with John Woosman as well. But when you're in that program, you work interchangeably with both faculty, I'm sure.
Music by Richard Strauss here on Live and Local, that will be performed Saturday night at 7:30 at Smith Music Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana, in a program remembering Eric Dahlheim. You're listening to Live and Local.
Thank you.
That was the third of the four last songs by Richard Strauss for soprano and original for orchestra, Lucia Pop. Well, I don't know which is the original, but that was certainly orchestral version with her and the London Philharmonic led by Klaus Tennstedt. Beim Schlafengehen, Going to Sleep, with a text by Hermann Hesse. And that will be performed along with many other pieces at the memorial concert for Eric Dahlheim, who died in April, longtime faculty member at the University of Illinois, wonderful pianist. And this is being put on by friends and colleagues of his and former students as well. That will be sung by soprano Desiree Hassler and pianist Rachel Jensen, who is another fine pianist in our area. And Barbara Hedlund is with us. She is one of the chief organizers of the event, and the Master of Ceremonies also is here, Carolyn Paulin, and conductor Paul Vermeil, who was here for much of the time that Eric was leading the University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra. And although Paul won't be participating directly in the program, I understand you wrote a little bit of a tribute for the program.
Well, I did, because I did work a lot with Eric, mostly in the process of preparing for works for choral works with orchestra and with soloists. And so rehearsed with the soloist, and he played at many of the coachings and rehearsals. And so I had a really long association with him, and I always admired his musicianship, his help for his students, and it was just great working with him. He was a great, great musician, and I'm very proud to have been a friend of his and to participate in this memorial concert. I also we did a work by which was commissioned by the tenor Jerry Hadley to composer Daniel Stephen Kraft on words of Sandberg. What's the name of the song? And
the song and slogan.
The song and the slogan. Now, Eric played the piano. It was a chamber orchestra, which I conducted, and Eric played the piano for this. It was not an easy piece, but he handled it beautifully, and it was a great memory.
And it's nice of you to mention that, because that was broadcast here on WILL-TV.
It was.
Yes, it was.
As a matter
yes,
of fact.
It was produced by WILL, yes.
Yeah. Well, I wish we had time to say lots more about Eric and what he meant to other people as well, but those other people aren't all here. Many of them will be at the event. There will be tributes read, but mostly by the way of musical performance. And one of those pieces that will be on the program is one of the enigmatic pieces of Erik Satie, one of his best known. And I know that oboist John Dee, I presume oboist John Dee was not a student of his, but I believe that the pianist who he'll be working with was Dan Fry.
That's correct. John Dee had a collaborative relationship with Eric from the day he auditioned for the job at the University of Illinois to become the professor here. And they performed on a lot of faculty recitals and a lot of performances at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute series. This is one of the works that John performed with Eric.
And this will be John Dee and Dan Fry, who was in our area for a long time and just fairly recently moved away, and obviously pleased to come back for this program. The Gymnopédie number 1 of Erik Satie. The program will be at 7:30 Saturday night at Smith Memorial Hall, appropriately enough in this case, in the recital hall, remembering Eric Dahlheim, a memorial concert for him on the campus of the University of Illinois. Carolyn and Barbara and Paul, thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
pianist Aldo Ciccolini, and playing music by Eric Satie that will be played in a version for oboe and piano on the Eric Dahlheim Memorial Concert tomorrow night at 7:30 at Smith Recital Hall on the University of Illinois campus. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. Our show is made possible with support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. The rest of the show will be kind of a whirlwind tour of our next three guests, including two who are performing at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which starts tonight, this evening at 5 o'clock. One of those performers is a duo called Red Tail Ring. They'll be at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana tonight at 10:30, and this is an original tune of theirs called Sugar Wine. Called Sugar Wine by Red Tail Ring, who explained their name, by the way, as a reference to the Red Tail Hawk, and Ring is kind of a gang, and it's a gang of two, who are Michael Beauchamp and Laurel Primo. They share singing duties, and they also share multi-instrumentalist duties. I spoke with Michael yesterday morning, and they're going to be at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival tonight at 10:30 at the Independent Media Center, and asked them about their sort of combining the new with the traditional. As I said, that tune was an original of theirs.
Like, we get a lot of creative energy from learning older songs, and when you turn around and when we write new songs, you can't help but have that type of feeling, you know, however it manifests, if it's subject matter or if it's the playing style, it kind of translates. It kind of transmits through the writing of newer songs. So it's kind of a funny mix because we really love older songs, and some of what we're trying to do is, I guess I could say, messing with the new or messing with the old songs in kind of changing them, you know, kind of updating them, even though that's a funny term. But and then with our new songs, trying to scuff them up a little bit and make them sound a little bit older. So we love both writing songs and also learning about much older songs. And so when you put the two together, that's really all that we do.
The song we opened with, Sugar Wine, was one of your originals. Do you and Laurel write together, or do you one of you do the tune and one the words, or what's your process?
We do it all. Laurel has more of a history of writing instrumental tunes of songs with no music or with no lyrics. Excuse me. So she's much better at doing that. I have more of a history in just kind of singer-songwriter songwriting. So I think we each have our own little corner, but she'll write a song and I'll write a song, and then sometimes we'll kind of come together and write. When we write original material, even if it's a song that I've written, we try to eat a hand in it. So even if it's something that I've primarily written, she'll put in something that I really wouldn't think of. So it's a pretty organic process in writing.
Well, I want to play one of the traditional songs, or really two traditional songs you've combined here from mm-hmm. your CD called Mountain Shout. And you're both of you doing the vocals, so this is kind of a nice way to follow up what you were just talking about, where this is a real melding of two instruments, two voices, two songs, and mm-hmm. your mix of the, your updating, so to speak, of some traditional music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is this is Mountain Shout one of your more recent ones?
Yeah, Mountain Shout and Middle West Chant. Mountain Shout is the traditional album, and Middle West Chant is all original. They came out in April.
Oh, so you brought them out together?
Together, yeah. They were released concurrently. So,
nice,
you know,
touch.
We thought it was a bit gaudy to come out with a double album. So basically we came out with a double album, but put them in two separate packages. So it's kind of, you know.
Why not? Well, you can sell them both separately then.
Exactly, yeah.
Red Tail Ring will be at the Urbana-Champaign Folk and Roots Festival Friday night at 10:30 at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana. It's free with the festival wristband. The wristband is what gets you into all of the events of the festival. There are, of course, many things that are also free and you don't need to buy the wristband, but this is one that you can either pay separately if you just want to go hear them and one or two other groups, or buy the whole thing, and there you go. Michael Beauchamp, along with Laurel Primo, are Red Tail Ring, and you're hearing them on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
To go and leave this world of sorrow.
That's a bit of a performance by the group called Red Tail Ring from their CD called Mountain Shout. Talk about suffering and the tune coming up, Going to Cairo, combining the two. And they'll be at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana tonight at 10:30, going up until midnight. And you can get their full schedule at folkandroots.org. Support for our show today on FM 90.9 comes from the Prairie Ensemble, who opened their season on Sunday, November 6th at 7 o'clock p.m. at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign. That's this Sunday. The program, called East Meets West, features Tandun's Concerto for Pipa and Strings, with music by Haydn, Respighi, and Prokofiev. Details are available at 355-9077 or prairieensemble.org. Among the other performers at the Folk and Roots Festival, and there are a great many, both local and visiting, and this is a visiting performer, is Lee Murdoch, who will be at the festival this evening at 6 o'clock until 7 at Heartland Gallery. And then he's leading a campfire sing-along called Sea Shanties and More. That'll be at 8 o'clock tonight until 9 at the Iron Post on the patio. And he sort of specializes in music of the Great Lakes. This is a song called The Old School Craft.
Sometimes now I see her, a feeling the lone shoreline, but she doesn't seem to be the ship that she was in the olden time. With her canvas patched, her bowsprit drooped, her spars sprung to the fore, and I think of an old time shell back doing an odd time chore. She's bowed, run out her courses, and is now on the inward haul. No more will hear the sheet block jig, or listen to the click of the pawl, and the topsail halyard chanties that we've often heard before has gone with the folks who'll walk around and joined the joys of yore. In fancy I hear a storm band, oh, a playing amid the shrouds, when the backstage tuned to a tenor and the rattling's bass so loud. The foresheet timed a tattoo, it seemed to soothe her the best, and she lay to a friendly anchor, a swinging wind rode rest. And the seagulls wait and wonder as they voice their lonely song. Where's the men before the mast? And our white-winged cousins are gone. Oh, most of them parted their cables. They shipped at the skipper.
Well, with apologies, I'm not sure what happened there. If Thought I had the whole song on there. Well, that was Lee Murdoch, a song called The Old School Craft. And he specializes in the music of the Great Lakes. And I asked him when I talked to him just yesterday morning, I believe, what are some of the most common song topics from that region?
The most popular of the songs are those that talk about loss of life at sea, you know, shipwrecks and tragedy and stuff. And I think some of that is due to the fact that the sea is a completely different world than what most people experience. And that's what draws people to it, actually. And so it follows the same on the Great Lakes songs. There are a lot of songs about ships that were lost in storms or wrecked on the rocks or burned to the waterline. But there are also songs that I found, you can't do a whole program of shipwreck songs, you know, it'd be pretty depressing. So you find the songs that kind of breathe life into the subject matter. I look for the human element. And so there are songs about characters, about fantastic trips, fast voyages, racing on the Great Lakes, you know, different types of songs, what kind of food was served, and that type of thing that I found very, very interesting.
Do you have any personal experience on the sea?
I've done some. I always tell people that I am a folk singer. I'm not a sailor, even though I've learned an awful lot and I'm learning more. I've been on some of the big boats. When I say a boat, these boats are 700 to 1,000 feet long, but that's what they call them up on the lakes, and a lake boat. I've been on tall-masted sailing ships, been on small craft, and experienced water in many, many different ways. But I use it to embellish the stories of the sailors themselves. When the sailor comes up and says, you know, Lee, how long have you worked on the Great Lakes? I take it as a huge compliment, but I also say, I'm a folk singer, I'm not a sailor.
So that implies that you're definitely doing songs about contemporary sailing as well as, I presume, a lot of the older, more traditional sorts of wooden mast kinds of things.
That's right. For instance, that first song that you played, was a poem that was published in the Toronto Evening Star in 1934 by Alfred Burritz, I think. And it was lamenting the passing of the tall ships in the Great Lakes, the last commercial vessel being burned at the Toronto waterfront that July of 1934. But since then, of course, there have been many, many tall ships built as excursion vessels or school ships where they take school children out and learn about environmental issues on the lakes. And, you know, there's just on Lake Michigan alone, I think there's about 7 or 8 or 9 schooners that travel and sloops that travel in a semi-commercial capacity. I say semi because they aren't hauling lumber, they aren't hauling coal, the way they used to. They're hauling, the cargo is people. So they're hauling us to experience the wonders of the lakes.
So the Men in the Old School Craft, which we played first, was that a tune of yours?
The melody was mine.
The melody
was yours.
The
poem was given to me by a fellow who actually was a letter written in 1934 to Ivan Walton at the University of Michigan, who was collecting a lot of this material of the schooner days. And I found that in his collection at the Bentley Historical Library in Ann Arbor. And so I got that from him, and I thought it was such a beautiful, eloquent statement of a position, you know, of a feeling that the music just kind of flowed out. And so that is my music.
And the one we're going to hear next, which is called In a Handy Foremaster.
That's a, I believe that's a capstan shanty. And a capstan shanty is a work song that was used at the capstan or windlass, a machine aboard a vessel. And that was collected by Ivan Walton. So it is a traditional song that was used while working aboard ship.
And who are the robust-sounding gentlemen joining you on this one?
Dock wallopers. Well, that's what they call themselves, the guys that were loaded, or I should say unloaded the lumber schooners. They unloaded them by hand, and this was probably early 20th century, late 19th century. And of course, they didn't, you know, place these boards down on the dock very gingerly or anything. They just threw them off there, and so that's why they called themselves dock wallopers. I guess on the when they were loaded, they called themselves lumber shovers. And but the basically, there are friends of mine that we get together periodically. I'm trying to remember specifically. I think Russ Hurst is singing with me on that, and Rob Williams, Steve Lindenmeyer, Wally Cook, and Bill Pufall, and me.
And yeah, you're there too. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
And me is Lee Murdoch. He's going to be at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival Friday twice from 6 to 7, performing at the Heartland Gallery. And that's free with the festival wristband, which you have to purchase. And then at the Iron Post, he'll be there from 8 to 9 leading a what's billed here as a campfire sing-along, sea shanties and more. I don't know if they're going to build a fire in the Iron Post or not, but that's what it says here. And that's free. Period. You can just show up. You don't even have to buy the festival wristband and participate and sing along. Lee, thanks very much for joining us.
It was a lot of fun, Kevin.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. This is called In a Handy Foremaster.
In a handy foremaster, I once took a trip.
Hooray, boys, heave her down.
And I thought that I was aboard a good ship.
Way down, laddies down.
But when on the lake to my sorrow I found.
Hooray, boys, heave her down.
That she was a workhorse and that I was bound.
Way down, laddies down.
We left with the fair wind a mere little breeze.
Hooray, boys, heave her down.
But somehow the old man was not at his ease.
Way down, laddies down.
We looked at the sky and he said, Mr. Brown.
Hooray, boys, heave her down.
Just clew up those topsails and then reefed down.
Way down, laddies down.
We reefed and we furled from dark to daylight.
Hooray, boys, heave her down.
You never in your life did see such a sight.
Way down, laddies down.
The mate was a shellback from way down below.
Hooray, boys, heave her down.
He'd rave and he'd roar as he walked to and fro.
Way down, laddies down.
The galley was dirty, the cooking was bad.
Hooray, boys, heave her down.
Fresh meat was a rare thing that we never had.
Way down, laddies down.
But now we are bound down the long lakes once more.
Hooray, boys, heave her down.
And on this old wagon I'll never ship more.
Way down, laddies down.
Way down, laddies down.
Lee Murdoch and his friends in a song called The Men and the Old School Craft, I think. That was In a Handy Foremaster. And he will be at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival tonight from 6 to 7, performing solo at Heartland Gallery, and then leading a campfire sing-along, Sea Shanties and More. That's from 8 to 9 tonight at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. For more information on the complete schedule, go to folkandroots.org. It does start at 5 o'clock. This evening, you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. And my next interview is actually going to be a very short one from a very long one that I had with the Naumburg Piano Competition winner from 2010, So-Yeon Lee. And she'll be playing at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock on their Sunday Salon series. And I'll put the complete interviews of not only her, but also of the other two that I aired with Lee Murdoch and with Michael Beauchamp of Red Tail Ring. We just wanted to get in. I needed to get in as many as I could today. So we'll hear a little bit of Soyeon's playing and a little bit of the conversation. The first thing I wanted you to hear of hers is actually from a CD she made on the Naxos label in their series of the complete sonatas of Domenico Scarlatti. This is one in B-flat here on Live and Local. Sonata in B-flat by Domenico Scarlatti, played by Soyeon Lee, the 2010 Naumburg Piano Competition winner, who will be playing at the Krannert Center Sunday afternoon. Her program will include music by Bach, a Korean composer named Eun-suk Chin, Franz Liszt, and also the Davidsbündler Dances by Robert Schumann. And when I talked with her a week ago, asked her a bit about the idea of playing a program that has so many short bits on it, the dance movements of the Bach, and then the short etudes of Eun-suk Chin, and the many, many little character pieces in the Schumann. And I likened it to, from a conductor's point of view, the idea of rehearsing that many completely separate pieces. And this was her response.
Actually, that's very interesting you say that, because I didn't think about it, but I think that's absolutely true. Because, for example, like the Schumann Davidsbündler dances, the 18 of them, I've had to literally work on each one of them as if it were a separate piece first before putting it together. And even now, when I'm working on it, I approach it's almost like approaching 18 different pieces. So in that sense, yeah, I think it does take a lot more rehearsal time, at least psychologically, you know, because you feel like you have many more pieces to get through. Yeah.
And you definitely want to try to get each one of them right. And
exactly,
self-contained.
By the way, Davidsbündler, I think, you know, people always ask, oh, who's your favorite composer? What is your favorite piece? I think I can safely say right now that Davidsbündler is my favorite piece. It's otherworldly.
Wow. Usually people really do avoid that question, you know,
asked that all the time, and I always say, you know, if my favorite piece is whatever I'm playing at the moment, which holds true for the most part and probably is, you know, sort of, I am playing the piece right now, so maybe I'm biased to that too, but I feel like Schumann is one of those composers that can really just dig into one's soul. I mean, there are beautiful pieces. Of course, Chopin wrote so many beautiful works. But I feel like there's something with Schumann and the piano and the intimacy of what he can do that can just sort of pierce through. And the Davidsbündler in particular, you know, so much of the Schumann works... Well, the bigger sonatas, it can kind of get lost in its repetitions. And, you know, he was definitely not a flawless composer. But I think in these dances, he's just perfect. I mean, it's just perfect.
Pianist Soyeon Lee talking about the Davidsbündler dances of Robert Schumann, which she'll be playing on Sunday afternoon to recital at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And I found... online, a recording she made, that was made of her playing for the 2009 Van Cliburn competition in the preliminary rounds of another work of Schumann, his Carnival. And here's the opening portion of that.